God has blessed us with that we could assemble together in a fashion like this to be able to sing and pray and hear the Word of God expressed and taught from the Scriptures, to be able to give of our means and remember the Lord's death as we do each and every Lord's day. I'm thankful to be here and I'm thankful that you're here. Appreciate the prayers that were led and mentioned me in those prayers. I thank you for that. And I'm encouraged to be here, and I hope you are too. Very simple lesson that we had this morning. As we think about the Scripture reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And Paul says in verse 21 that God chose the preaching of the gospel to save those that believe. We are saved by the message of the gospel. And a lot of verses bear that out before us. James chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. We are saved by the Word of God as we hear it preached and we believe it and obey it. But God chose the foolishness of preaching to save. And so I hope that we appreciate preaching of the gospel of Christ. There's a lot of preaching that takes place today, but a lot of it is not the preaching of the cross. A lot of it is not the preaching of the gospel. And we've got to remind ourselves too that, as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians, he said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach." And a lot of people think that to preach Christ is to just simply say that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, was buried and rose from the dead, that that's all the gospel. Well, certainly that's part of the gospel. That's the overall gist of the gospel, that Jesus came to save, that He died a cruel death on the cross, shed His blood so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins, was buried, but that He rose from the dead the third day. And now sits at a place of authority on the Father's right hand, as stated in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and other passages. But though the gospel does talk about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and following, there's a lot of other things that go along with preaching the gospel of Christ, like abstaining from sin, doing what God would have us to do. All of that is talked about, is included and the doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the one faith that you have in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. But I want us to think about this morning, preaching the cross of Christ. You know, there's a lot of things that are associated with the cross of Christ, isn't there? A lot of things that the Bible talks about that came along with the cross of Christ, that was accomplished by the cross of Christ. I want us to think about, in our lesson this morning, five simple points about the cross of Christ. We're going to let each letter in the word cross stand for something. And there's a lot of other things that you could do in a lesson like this and let them stand for various other things. But here's five points that I want to put before you. And the first one is compassion. Probably no display could be found greater concerning compassion than the cross of Jesus Christ. The compassion that He had in going to the cross. But Jesus was a man of compassion. Number of times in the Bible we read about the compassionness of Christ, the fact that He was a compassionate man, like in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitude and He had compassion on them. Why? In that passage, because they were like sheep that were scattered, having no shepherd. And the Lord had compassion on them. When you come over to Matthew 14, 14, the Bible says that the Lord had compassion on the multitude and He healed their sick. When you come over to Matthew 15, 32, the Bible says that Jesus said, "I have compassion on the people because they've been with me for 3 days and not ate anything, and I won't send them away lest they faint in the way." He had compassion on the people and He fed the people. Remember that account? And then as they came to the city of Nain, there was a widow's only son. We'd recently talked about this in a Bible class. He had died. And the Bible says the Lord had compassion on her. And what did He do? He raised a man to life. The Lord was a compassionate person. You know that God calls upon us to be compassionate. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, a very simple passage that I'm sure you've read many times. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 8. "Finally, be all," and he's writing to Christians, "be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." There's at least a 4-point sermon all on its own, being like-minded, having compassion, love his brethren, pitiful and courteous, 5 points. But the Lord, through the inspiration, through the penman Peter, is instructing all of us to have compassion one of another. And then when you come over to the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, "My brethren, if any of you have this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And then he says, don't love in tongue or in word, but in deed and in truth. God expects us, like Jesus, to have compassion toward other people. So I ask you, when you think about being compassionate, how are you doing on it? How am I doing? I've got to answer for myself, and you do too. Do we have a compassionate attitude like the Lord had? That he would suffer on the cross so that we could be saved. But then I think about, reminded about, as we come to R, about redemption. Without the cross, there is no redemption. The Bible speaks much about redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, when he talks about, beginning with verse 18, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation or conduct received by tradition from your fathers." Well, if we weren't redeemed by tangible, corruptible things, what were we redeemed by? Redeemed has the idea of being bought back. A price that is paid, not the word ransom. Something that is purchased. What are we redeemed by? But with the precious blood of Christ, who? As a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. When Paul was writing to the churches of Galatians, the book of Galatians, he would write in verse 4, "Who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Jesus gave himself for us. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation chapter 1. And in verse 5, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul would write in Ephesians 1, 7, as well as Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Then I think about the words, the eternal words of Paul as expressed in the book of Romans, chapter 5. When you think about love, you think about, again, compassion, but about love and the attitude toward others. I want you to think about the love of God as expressed in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. He says, "Even when we were in without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now that's who Jesus died for. He died for everybody, but including the ungodly, those opposed to God, those who do contrary to the will of God. In due time, Jesus died for the ungodly. Now watch what he says. "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, and for a good man some would even dare to die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love," verse 8, "God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now think about that. He talks about a righteous man, a good man, and then sinners. And Jesus died, even though we were sinners, he died for us much more than, verse 9, "being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." I'm thankful for redemption. I'm thankful for what Jesus did as he died on the cross of Calvary. And so we have redemption through his blood. Jesus said, "I take you and drink you all of it," as we just did a moment ago. To remember the Lord's death on the fruit of the vine, Jesus, when he instituted it, said, "Take it, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Why? For the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 10, verse 22. So I'm thankful for redemption that is afforded us in Christ Jesus, made possible by his blood, by the cross. The death that he died. But then you come to O in cross, and you think about how offensive that even the cross of Christ is toward people, how offended they get at the preaching of the cross of Christ. Oh, we can preach about the love of God, and we ought to, and people eat that up. They love hearing about the love of God, don't they? And it's a biblical concept. We just read about the love of God in Romans chapter 5. And the Bible is replete, filled with references that talk about the love of God. But people love hearing about that, and they love hearing about heaven. I do too. They love hearing about the mercy and the long-suffering and the patience and the kindness and the blessings of God. And we like hearing that too. But a lot of people don't like all the rest of what's included in the doctrine of Christ. The fact that there is but one church. The world don't like that. Yet the Bible says it. Upon this rock I will build my church. Oh, we don't want to hear that. What one must do in order to be a member of the New Testament church. The world's turned off by that. Don't talk to me about repentance and about being baptized for the remission of my sins. That is, in order to have the remission of my sins. Don't talk to me about that. And other things that come along with it, they are offended at that. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, "And brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why am I yet persecuted? Then the offense of the cross is ceased." Paul's saying, if I continue to teach what is included under the Old Testament law of Moses, I would not even be persecuted because people would eat that up. The Jews would love it. Those who want to go back to the Old Testament law of Moses would just love that I would teach about circumcision, which is part of the law of Moses. But he says, why am I being persecuted? He wasn't preaching to go back and live under the Old Testament law of Moses. And then he says, why is the offense of the cross? It would be seized. The offense of the cross, offensive to a lot of people. A stumbling block and a rock of offense. Behold, I lay in Zion, a stumbling block and a rock of offense. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in him. Romans 9, verse 33. The foolishness of the preaching. A lot of people are turned off by it, and they don't like it. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. When Jesus taught upon one particular occasion, they came to the Lord and they said, "Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended at this saying?" Matthew chapter 15, verse 12. But the Lord had already said, "Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." Matthew 11, verse 6. Now think about 1 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 8. What the Lord, again, what he did for us, who in his own body bear our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yet a lot of people offended at the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. You see that in the world today, even more so than in recent times. In times not so long ago that people are so offended by it. You have folks who get out here and march on the street and talk about things, doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, and the world just has a field day with that. They could hear that all day long. They'll march up down the street with their rainbow and their different colors, and the list just goes on, and drunkenness and adultery and fornication and the slaughter of innocent babies by the millions each year, and the world just thinks that that's okay. But you preach against those things and the world doesn't like it. Who are you to judge? Who are you to tell me what I can do with my own body? God's already said what we can do and what we cannot do. See that point? The world's offended at that. But then you think about sin. In the book of Jeremiah, as we come to the S, one of the S's, the book of Jeremiah chapter 3, and in verse 25, we lie down in our shame, or in our confusion. Our shame covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. People are in sin today. We have been in sin. You are dead in your sin and your trespasses, Paul would write in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And other places. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin has hid his face from you that he will not hear. It's not a question of whether or not God can. It's a question of whether or not God will. And God won't so long as we are in our sins, and we need to understand that. Obey the gospel so that we can be set free from our sin. Romans 3 and then verse 23, for all of sin come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The book of James, as we've been studying for a couple of weeks now in our Sunday morning class. If you weren't here for that class, you can listen to it on the website when it gets uploaded and come next week. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Bringeth forth death. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verses 31 and 32. If you're here this morning, you're in your sins, you can obey the gospel. You don't have to continue in your sins. But obey the gospel so you can go to heaven when life is over. One last point. What about surrender, submission, servitude? You could talk about each one of those. The Bible talks about the fact that Jesus surrendered, submitted to the will of God. Philippians 2 verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the crosses. Jesus' whole life can be summed up, not just in one word, but at least in the word among many, as obedience. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. And then when his parents thought that maybe they'd left him behind in Jerusalem, maybe he was among the kinfolk, and they went searching for him when he was very young, they found him in the temple. Why have you done this to us? Could you imagine leaving one of your children behind, or you're not sure where they're at? We turn our back and one of ours is gone, and we instantly worry that maybe they've gone too far. That can happen, especially when you got some that run really, really fast, faster than you do. In Philippians chapter 2, the Lord was obedient to death, but then he said when his parents found him, why are you seeking me? Why have you sought for me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business. Luke 2 and then verse 49. In John 4, 34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John chapter 6 and then verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now think about the words in Matthew 26, 42. Before he was crucified, praying to the Father, O Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, nevertheless thy will be done. In the death of the cross he was obedient. And in John 17, 4, again, in prayer to the Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And then in agony that we can't even wrap our minds around as He was suspended between heaven and earth on the cruel rug of the cross of Calvary, He said, it is finished, John 19:30. Complete obedience, submission, surrender to the will of God. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the cross of Christ which made humanity's salvation possible. The cross of Christ, are you thankful for it? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? I want to ask you, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, why on earth are you waiting for it? That's a serious question. And what, not one that I just simply ask because we ask it a lot, but what are you waiting for? Most of you here have not obeyed the gospel, but the ones who are here and you've not yet obeyed, you've heard enough gospel preaching probably the last lifetime. Why not obey it? Well, I'm just not quite ready. Get ready. Be ready. Make your mind up that you're ready. The devil don't want you to be ready. He wants you to continue to think that you're not ready, that tomorrow you might be ready, so that one day your tomorrow doesn't come. And then you've died outside the Lord. So why not just say, I'm ready. because I want to go to heaven and I want to obey. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, you do exactly what they did in Bible times to be saved. It'll never change, and I'll preach it so long as I'm able to, unless prohibited by help of death. Think about what the Bible says. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. John 8:24, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Shake or not? Do you? I do too. Good. You ought to. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Turn from the ways of the world and do that which is right. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. With your own mouth, like the eunuch did, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Into the one body of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 12:13. You want to do that this morning? Why not? Can you think of one good reason as to why you should? And I don't think there's not even one good reason. Except maybe you need to be taught more, and I'm happy to teach you more. But obey. Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that, but you've not been faithful unto the Lord. You've turned your back on Him, went back out in the ways of the world, and you want to be restored. Why not repent of your unfaithfulness? Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Won't it be wonderful there? It will be. Come right now.